everybody. Thanks for listening to the Adulting is Easy podcast. This is Lauren, and I manage the Adulting is Easy blog and podcast, which can be found at realadultingiseasy.com. I'm joined again today by my little sister, Jenny. How's it going?
Doing all right. You know, I'm out of school now, so I'm only doing online classes. So I get to spend more time with you now.
Yeah, isn't that great?
Yeah.
I'm like the only person you see besides mom and dad.
Yeah, it's a struggle, honestly.
So we're getting back on script a little bit today. Our goal is to make adulting a bit easier for Jenny here, my little sister, and our listeners by explaining a personal finance topic, since managing money is a big part of adulting. Today, I'm going to tell Jenny about the two most popular education savings methods available in the United States. Before we get started, do you want to know which one of these dad has for you, or do you want me to kind of surprise you as we go?
Well, I mean, we've talked about it before. I just know it's some prepaid college tuition thing, but I don't know the name of it. And I thought it, like, carried over from
here. You are wrong.
No, why am I wrong? Let's get into it.
So, yeah, it's true. So, one thing that you do have is, so, how old were you when I went to college?
Well, you were, like, 18?
Yeah.
So, I was, like, 5?
You were 5, yeah. So, I had a Florida prepaid tuition plan that dad signed over to our brother. Some people might not know. We have a brother that's in between us. And then since he didn't really go to 4 years of college, mm-hmm. he signed that over to you. There's a separate plan that he had just for you during that time.
Wow, I'm special.
You are. That's because your mom and dad were so old when they had you. Relatively, you know. So I'll just surprise you then. How about that?
Yeah, let's go.
So we're going to talk about 529 plans and education savings accounts. So the first one we're going to talk about is a 529 plan, and it came in two varieties. One, a prepaid tuition program, and two, a savings plan. I don't know. I asked dad and he didn't text me back. I asked him if your prepaid plan is a 529 plan. But the idea of those prepaid tuition plans is you pay a lump sum or you make payments. It can be either way. And you basically lock in an assumed tuition rate for the future.
All right, okay.
They're not as popular as they used to be because it turns out if you took that money, either that lump sum or those monthly payments that you would put into that anyways, and you invested it, you would make more that way.
Okay.
So the prepaid tuition plans aren't as popular as they were. That might be what was my plan, and then our brother's plan, and now your plan.
But does it always end up covering all of it? Or, like, just, like, a partial, like,
I think it covers. I think it covers everything because you lock in a certain rate early.
Oh, okay.
So, so states run 529 plans. That's not the case for ESAs, which we'll get to in a minute. They're funded with federal after-tax dollars. So what that means, Jenny, is you make your money on your paycheck. They take taxes out. You do your taxes at the end of the year, whatever. Mm-hmm. There's money from your bank account that has been taxed, and that goes into these accounts. That's this case for 529s and ESAs. Right. You've already paid taxes, and that's the money that goes in there. So later on, you can then use that money for qualified education expenses. But you've invested that money, right? You put the money in there.
Yeah, you invest
it. Any earnings on the money you've invested is tax-free. Do you know why that is?
No.
Because you've already paid taxes on it.
Okay.
You paid taxes on the money. It's kind of like, remember how we've talked about Roth IRAs before?
Yes.
You pay taxes on the money. You put the money away. And it earns money, but you don't have to pay taxes on the earnings. Yep. So same kind of thing here. In the case of 529s, qualified expenses, which you can use this for and not pay any tax on the earnings federally, is pretty broad. Tuition, books, computers, equipment, supplies, pretty broad in terms of 529s. So some states allow savers also to make a state deduction to the contribution. So did you know, you may or may not, there's federal taxes, right? We're in Florida. Mm-hmm. There are no state income taxes in Florida, believe it or not. So when you see me Eric, mom, dad, our brother, grandparents, cousins, aunts, uncles, grandparents. When you see everybody doing their taxes, we're doing our federal income taxes. In other states, there's state income tax.
What?
Yes.
What states have state income tax?
Most states do.
What?
Actually, it's, so it's a longer list than states that don't.
That is crazy.
Yeah. So, you know, Eric's dad lives in Pennsylvania. Our mom's from Pennsylvania. They have state income tax there. So, these state 529s, they're run by states. So, some of those state plans allow you to have, it's not just federal tax free, it can also be state tax free in some cases, cool. But it varies from state to state. Something that's kind of interesting too is, you don't have to invest in the 529 plan from your state, which is kind of weird and interesting. So if you, for some reason, liked one in another state better, you could invest in it there. So the three biggest benefits of 529 plans are, number one, the high contribution limits. So you can contribute up to around $15,000 per year. It varies from state to state. So it's a pretty high amount of money that you can put in there. You can have, that's reason number one. Reason number two, the people contributing, so the parents usually, or maybe grandparents if they're providing for their grandchild or whatever, you can have high incomes. You'll see in a second that ESAs limit the income that the savers can have. There's also no age income limit for the student, for the beneficiary of a 529 plan. So those are the three biggest benefits of 529s. One, high contribution limits, two, lack of income limits, and three, lack of age limits for the student. So one thing I want to also mention, and this was something that I forgot to, just frankly forgot to put in the blog that I posted on this subject, is that something else that's kind of interesting about 529s is you can, let's say a parent wanted to put a big chunk of money into a 529 plan. They can put up to $75,000 into a 529 plan. You just then can't contribute for the next, like, 5 years. That counts for 5 years of contributions, which is kind of interesting. So
that's the limit.
That's the limit, yeah. Okay. It's about $15,000 a year, so 5 years would be $75,000. That's the most you can put in at once, which is kind of cool because if you had a good chunk of money for some reason, you could then put that money into a 529 plan, you know, and have all of that earn, right? Earn money tax-free for those 5 years.
So which one's more popular than the ESA or the 529?
I don't know that. I think the 529 at this point, but I'm not sure. It's a good question. Let's see. Another cool thing about 529s is you can have hundreds of thousands of dollars in the 529, right? You put your $15,000 a year. You invest really wisely. It grows like crazy. You can have a lot of money in there, which is something that's pretty neat. Let's see. The main downside for 529, you're probably like, hey, this all sounds good. Why would anybody not do a 529? There's limited investment options. So it's similar to, in my mind, it's similar to what it's like for 401ks. You can have a very limited list of things that you can invest the funds in. This is why dad chose an ESA for you and not a 529.
Oh, okay. Here we
go. I'm unclear if you're prepaid tuition plan counts as a 529 or not, but dad created an ESA for you. And I don't know exactly when, but when we talk about your money and we talk about the stock market taking a big hit recently, we're talking about your ESA.
Oh boy.
Okay. So ESAs can be opened by any broker, so they have a wide range of investment options. Let's say dad was like obsessed with Disney or something. He could have put your money.
He totally is.
But he could have put your, well, yeah, they're his client or whatever, or he's theirs. I'm not sure. But yeah, so he could have put your college funds directly into like Disney stock, for example, not just picking from a list of choices like you would with a 529, right? Okay. I don't know. It'd be a good question to him to ask to where he has it invested. So that's the top reason people pick ESAs, and that's why dad picked that for you. ESAs, education savings accounts, ESAs, they are not state run. So there is no state deduction available ever, right? Which is, as we just talked about, irrelevant if you're in Florida because there's no state taxes anyways. They have the same tax benefits as the federal at the federal level, though, same as 529s, because they're also funded with after-tax dollars. So the reasons investors choose 529 plans over ESAs, or another way to say that, the downsides to ESAs are the low contribution limit and the income limits. So what did we just say the contribution limit is about for 529s?
Do you say 75?
75 for 5 years. What is that on a yearly basis?
15.
Right. It's 2,000 for an ESA. That's the most that you can put in.
Okay.
Those funds can be used without any penalties. Also, just for tuition and fees only. Remember, we just talked about 529s. It's like tuition, fees, supplies, computers. There's a longer list of things that you can use 529s for without any penalties. Also, 529s, the student can be any age. ESAs, contributions have to occur before the beneficiary turns 18. And they have to use it by the time they reach 30.
That's kind of inconvenient.
I agree.
Like for college?
I tend to find ESAs. I was surprised that Dad said you had an ESA and not a 529.
That would mean I would have to spend the money, like, now.
By the time you're 30. No, it has to be funded by the time you're 18. You have to use it by the time you're 30. So Dad couldn't put anything in a year.
Okay, I understand that.
But still, those limits do not exist in 529s, right? So there's also income limits for ESAs, which I find to be interesting. So you can make the maximum contribution for a married couple making $190,000. If you make $220,000 as a married couple, you can't contribute at all.
What?
Yep. So for single filers, the contribution limit is $110,000, which is half of $220,000, which makes sense. So as you can see, ESAs have a lot more limitations.
Mm-hmm.
So just if Eric and I choose to procreate, our children will have 529s. That's what we're going to do.
But Dad got me an ESA.
Dad got you
an
ESA.
That's interesting.
Yes. Okay. He really... So... Well, this is what I was going to say later, but if you're going to pick an ESA over 529, the only reason that I can see for doing that is because you want the broader investment range.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to have to choose from a
list. That's why you want the 529.
That's why ESA. 529s have the lower list, just the list to choose from. But that's really the only negative that I can see. Hey, at adulting is easy at Twitter, if you want to come at me.
Come at me.
So let's talk about similarities really quickly and then we'll wrap up. With either plan, a 529 or an ESA, the beneficiary can be changed without penalty so long as the new beneficiary is related to the prior beneficiary.
So this, and that went from Alex to me?
From me to Alex.
To me. Okay.
That's why I think your prepaid tuition plan probably is a Florida 529 prepaid plan. Right, exactly. You're related. And I believe if you had a niece or a nephew, for example, you could sign it over to them.
Oh, cool.
So either of these plans can be used for K-12 expenses, right? So it used to be, until very recently, I think it must have been something that Trump did. It used to be that 529s could not be used for K-12 education.
Okay.
So let's say you were sitting on a 529. You decided to go to a private high school. It's pretty expensive. Mom and Dad are like, we've got a ton of money in her college savings account. If she doesn't go to a private college, we are going to have extra. They used to not be able to use it. But now they can. And you could always do that for ESAs. So either way, you can use it for K-12. What I do want to say is, if you're going to use it for, let's talk about kindergarten. You started saving when the kid was born, maybe. Like, kindergarten's only 6 years later. That's not a lot of time for that money to grow.
Yeah.
So it's really not advisable to use it for that. However, you can for either plan. Let's see. What else? Okay. Withdrawn earnings. Either way, because you're funding these plans with after-tax dollars, the earnings on those after-tax dollars can be used for qualified education expenses with no penalty. If you don't, for either plan, you're going to have to pay a federal income tax on the earnings and a 10% penalty.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked about why that would be. It's because it was after-tax dollars that were put in there. Something else to consider that's similar for both is both plans are considered a parental asset for parents of dependent students when calculating financial aid. And this topic would be beyond the scope of this current podcast. But just know that there's a very complicated formula for determining who gets federal financial aid.
Okay.
And these plans are considered a parental asset for that. So this begs the question, what's the right choice? And we talked about it basically. If you highly value investment choice, an ESA is the right pick. If you'd like to contribute more than $2,000 a year, if you have a high income, a 529 plan is the right option. There's also the potential for those state tax benefits if we're talking about certain 529s. So we've now come to the point in the podcast where I want to remind everyone that although I have a business finance degree and I'm working on a graduate certificate in personal finance, I do not have any certifications in this area, and you should talk to someone who does.
Nice disclaimer right at the end. So that was pretty good.
I should probably do that every time. But so Jenny, that's what I've prepared for us today. Managing money is a huge part of adulting, and so is saving for college.
Yes.
You learned something?
So, oh, yeah.
Is the biggest thing that you learned that you have an ESA?
Yeah, that was probably it, yeah.
We'll have to ask Dad. Actually, that's your homework. When you get home, ask Dad what that's invested in. I'd be curious to know. Yeah.
He wanted my investment choice. He wants me to have flexibility. Got that.
Right.
Check that off.
Yeah, exactly. And you can talk about that. I'd be curious to know where that is. And just so you know, the market did take a pretty huge dump recently, but it's gone up a little bit since then.
Yeah, I know that.
So... But between your ESA and this prepaid, you're still set.
Yeah.
You're fine. So
hopefully.
So you can find the Adulting is Easy blog comparing education savings plans, ESAs, and 529s at realadultingiseasy.com. And that was posted in March of 2020.
You can also follow us on Twitter at adultingiseasy. We're also on Facebook. And you can email us at realadultingiseasy@gmail.com. You can also show your support at patreon.com/adultingiseasy.
Thanks again for listening. Hopefully we made adulting a little easier for you today. Stay safe. Stay healthy out there.